James 3:3-6. When we bridle horses and put bits in their mouths to lead them wherever we want, we can control their whole bodies. Consider ships. They are so large that strong winds are needed to drive them, but pilots direct their ships wherever they want with a little rudder. In the same way, even though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts wildly. Think about this. A small flame can set a whole forest on fire. The tongue is a small flame of fire, a world of evil at work in us. It contaminates our entire lives. Because of it, the circle of life is set on fire. The tongue itself is set on fire by the flames of hell. James 4:11-12.
Brothers and sisters,
don't say evil things about each other.
Whoever insults or criticizes a brother or sister
insults and criticizes the law.
If you find fault with the law,
you are not a doer of the law, but a judge over it.
There is only one lawgiver and judge,
and he is able to save and to destroy.
But you who judge your neighbor,
who are you?
The word of God for the people of God. Would you bow your heads for a word of prayer? Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you this day. I pray, Lord, that as we continue in this series on taming the tongue, stung by the tongue, that we might be surrounded by your Spirit, and that that would not just happen this morning during the sermon, but that you would walk with us all through the week. Help us to think about what you might speak to us now in such a way that in the week it influences us for good. And so we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So last week I asked you to corner criticism. How'd that go? Some of you are like, yeah, okay. But did you take the challenge? That's my real issue. Did you take the challenge? If you were here, and I hope you did, I want to tell you, I just have talked to a lot of people this week. It was an unusual level of feedback about the sermon. People saying, wow, I had no idea how much that is a part of my life. Not was. They did not speak in the past tense. And people who said, you know what, I didn't realize I'm passive aggressive. You know, I use humor to nail people. And just how, and what I found in talking to people is that many of us had the same experience. Affecting the tongue made us deal with our heart. Because so much of what's coming out of our mouth is a disposition of our heart. So much of what we say to people depends on where we are here and where we are in our will, where we are in our heart. How we're feeling towards others, how we're feeling about ourselves, has this tremendous impact. And so I got an email this week from a guy who said it really helped him. He said he was in a restaurant. He's in the restaurant, and he said there is a woman in the table right near his, so he can hear everything she's saying. And he said she was just on the server the entire time. Nothing the server did was right. And he said he just watched this, and he said finally the couple, this woman and you know her husband or whoever it was, they got up and they left. And the server came over to his table, and he said, Tom, there is a time I would have looked at, he said, on the average week, I would have looked at her and I would have said, wow, that lady is a piece of work. But he said, I didn't, because he said, I was trying to corner criticism. And so he said, I looked at this young woman who was a server, and I said, wow, you handled that beautifully. You were unbelievable the way you handled the customer service aspect of your work with that particular client today. And he said it was just amazing. Instantly, this young woman just lit up. And so in this email he sent to me, he just said, hey, thanks for putting the challenge out there. Because the challenge is what made him sort of rethink that. And did you notice in that transaction, that moment, the difference between saying, wow, she is a piece of work, and wow, you handled that beautifully. Do you know what the difference is? Right. It's the heart. It's the heart. It's about whether I've got contempt or whether I look at someone else and I just admire what they've done. And I think the pause between what's generating in our hearts and what comes out of our mouth, that pause works both ways. What comes out of our mouth affects what our heart becomes over time. So the more contempt I let come out of my mouth, the more my heart is changed in a negative way, the more contemptuous I become. Now, I share all that just to say, we're going to talk about another challenge today. And today the challenge I'm going to give you is this. Would you consider for a week joining me in the effort to not only corner criticism, but to harness hearsay? In other words, one of the big issues that the Bible talks about is the issue of gossip and how we use our tongue to tear down people, and we do it in a way that we hope they'll never know about. We do it with secretism. And would you take a challenge? Because I think that if we can control what comes out of our mouth, we will eventually change our heart, and that's a discipleship issue. The state of your heart, the state of your will, that's what Christ is really after. Because if our lives are aligned to Christ in that way, and I want to tell you, this issue of hearsay and gossip, it's tough. It's hard to control ourselves when we're in the midst of it, and it's hard to control a gossip that's in our midst. Would you agree with that? People that are prone to gossip, aren't they tough? There's a woman in the church, her name was Mildred. And Mildred was known as the woman in that church. It was a smaller church, so everybody knew each other really well. And Mildred was known as the woman that you had to be aware of, because Mildred was always making observations. And she had this powerful way of doing it. She would do it in a way that almost felt Christian. You know what I mean about that? She sort of would spiritualize it. So she would talk about people, and nobody ever called her on it. And they didn't call her on it because, as you know, gossip is a form of power. If you're willing to gossip, you hold a certain leverage against other people, and so they often won't challenge you because deep down their great fear is what? You're going to talk about them, right? So everybody just stands back from the gossip. So Mildred, a new guy moved into the community and started going to church. His name was Frank. Frank was kind of quiet, but he was working his way into the church, getting to know people, and Mildred got to meet Frank and speak to him. And then Mildred one day came to church. And she walked up to people and she said, because you know how people do this. I'm worried about Frank. And if I say I'm worried, and if I say I'm worried about Frank, what do you think? What do you say? Oh, what's your question? Why? Thank you. Yo, you're good at this. Good. Why? And doesn't that feel Christian? Why? And that's innocent. I just want to say, so far we're in innocent territory right here. And Mildred noticed that, well, this week, I drove by the bar. There's only one bar in the town. I drove by the bar, and on the street in front of the bar was Frank's truck. And it was parked there from noon to 5. Noon to 5. And I'm just worried Frank may have a problem. We should pray for Frank. Isn't that good? Oh, see, if I said we should pray for Frank, doesn't that feels very Christian, doesn't it? I mean, really, it's about the spiritual discipline. And Mildred walked all over the church doing this. She goes, you know, Frank, I don't know. I'm worried a little bit about Frank, you know, because I saw Frank's truck. And this went around the church, and eventually it came to Frank. And Frank overheard Mildred doing this one time, talking to somebody. And so what Frank did is Frank walked up right behind her and stood there. And then Mildred turned and said, oh, Frank, because Mildred had no shame whatsoever. Mildred turned to Frank and said, oh, Frank, I'm sorry, I was just sharing with others. I'm just concerned about you, that maybe you've got a problem with alcohol. And Frank didn't say a word. He didn't justify. He didn't explain why his truck was there. He didn't get angry. He didn't get upset. He didn't say a word. He just smiled at Mildred, and he walked away. And that afternoon, Frank got a thought. And 7 o'clock that evening, Frank drove his truck over to Mildred's house. He parked on the street right in front of Mildred's house. And Frank walked home. And it was late in the morning before that truck moved again. Now, you gotta love Frank, don't you? You've gotta love Frank because gossip is hard to control. It's hard to get a gossip to stop. You know, the Bible talks about gossip. I was just amazed as I've been doing the study in this topic, how much the Bible refers to hearsay and gossip. And it's all over the Bible. Now, I'm going to show you four quick Proverbs. Look at these. Here's Proverbs 13. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly, what? Will come to ruin. Look at Proverbs 18. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. Hey, when you hear a little gossip, isn't it juicy? That's this idea. Juice, gossip, it just tastes so good going down. They go down to the inmost parts. And so the proverb is saying, beware of that. Look at the next one. A gossip betrays confidence. So what? Avoid anyone who talks too much. Now look at Proverbs 26. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, what? A quarrel dies down. Now, that same concept about comparing speech to fire is found in the wisdom of James. James chapter 3, we find this verse. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by what? Small spark. Small spark. The tongue is also a fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body. And the scripture warns us over and over how powerful. See, I think there are two issues in this text. The first is the power of the tongue. We've seen forest fires over the West, you know, in the forests in the West, as we do every year. Every year we have these tremendous fires. And these fires cover hundreds and hundreds of acres before they're put out. And they jump. They're just so powerful. It's just so hard to control them once they start. And every one of these forest fires, see all the power of that fire? It started with something this big. It started with a spark or a flame that suddenly spreads and destroys hundreds of homes and changes people's lives. And some of these forests will never be the same in your lifetime. They will never, listen to that. They'll never be the same because of that fire. The same way you've got relationships in your life that will never be the same because of what gossip does. It's the power of words. Second thing the scripture speaks to is how you can't get it back. Like once it starts, you know, when a forest fire starts, they have planes, all this technology to drop fire retardant. You see that bucket? That bucket is so large, it has to be dipped into a lake. So the helicopter goes over a lake, dips the bucket, comes out, and listen, that's a lot of water. It's gallon upon gallon upon gallon of water. And yet, to the fire, it's nothing. You know what that is? Words. Once they go out, can't get them back. Doesn't matter how much regret you've got. Doesn't matter how sad you are about it. Doesn't matter how you wish you could do it over. Here's the deal. Once the words are out, they don't come back. And this problem has only gotten about 1,000 times worse with technology. Because in the old days, when Mildred was gossiping, when Mildred was doing her work in the small church, here's what it looked like. It went from her to then maybe two other people, and maybe they told two other people, but eventually it died out. And just like forest fires, do you know why gossip dies out? Because they move on to somebody else, that's why. Because gossips are, it's about the juiciness, it's about the power of it, so they move on. So eventually it dies out. But here's the problem that you and I have today. Gossip moves exponentially now because of technology. So here's what gossip looks like today. Because friends, these social media tools are so very powerful, and this has been demonstrated over and over and over. And when, once it hits Facebook, once it becomes a tweet that's retweeted, once it moves around, and listen, I'm not talking about Tom Cruise or some actor. You know who I'm talking about? Take a kid in middle school. Take a kid in a high school. Wow. We have given our kids an exceedingly powerful tool. Do you know what it's called? Wow, if you don't get this answer right, thank you, Jesus, that they came to church today. We've given our kids a very powerful tool. Do you know what it is? It's a smartphone, it's a cell phone, and it has a capacity to text message. And let me tell you something about high schools and middle schools. One text sent to 10 people gets blown out to the whole school community. And heaven forbid it's a picture of some sort. Right? Because it's just moving across the social network of a middle school or high school. And talk to the kid that's been an unjust victim of that text about how powerful it is. You know, it's funny, we teach our kids to use cars, don't we? We teach our kids to move use cars. Do you know why I teach my kid to use the car well? Because I'm strapping her into a one-ton piece of metal, and I'm letting her drive all over the community. And trust me, when she first gets strapped in behind the driver's thing, she's going to kill somebody if she's not careful. And so we take them around. I want to tell you, it just didn't occur to me. And it's my fault as a parent. It didn't occur to me when I handed my kid the first cell phone we gave one of our kids. It didn't occur to me I should be teaching her how to use it responsibly. It was only later when things started popping up in schools, because cell phones are so current, so new. Wow, you might want to think about that if you're a parent today. Just a little conversation about what do you do if you get the nasty text? Why am I telling you that? Because friends, This thing that the scripture points out 3,000 years ago in the Proverbs, they had no idea we would have something as powerful as a text message today. So what's great about the scripture is the truth of scripture is actually more true now than it was then, because the power that we have. So we have to ask ourselves, where is this coming from? Why do people gossip? What's it about? Because if we can understand the motivations, maybe that'll help us think through what we're doing when we do it. So I want to suggest that one of the first things that gossip is about envy. The Bible does a good job of helping us identify what are the root sins. You know, you've heard of the seven deadly sins, right? Well, envy is one of these root sins we have to deal with. And so a lot of gossip happens because if somebody is getting ahead, if somebody in your social network is getting ahead, and have you ever noticed that gossip is often about people that are doing well? Gossip's usually not about people that are doing poorly, and that's because social networks don't have to manage people that are doing poorly. They usually just manage people that are doing well. So if somebody starts to go up in the social network, how does everybody else feel they are dispositionally to that person? If they're up, you must be what? Down. And envy is a sin of somebody who feels down. And we look up and we say, wow, that person's doing really well. And the fastest way to help an up person come down is what? Is bring them down. So I was on a ferry with an elderly Sierra Leonean pastor years ago, and we had a lot of very slow-moving boat, and we had a lot of time to talk, and we were standing by, and I started to talk to him about another pastor in Sierra Leone who I'd observed, and I just said, you know, this guy really seems to have his act together. He seems to be very, very smart. He's very attuned to people. I'm just very impressed with him. And the elderly pastor who was leaning there, he said he is. He said he's very smart. He's very, you know, this. And he just had a lot of very nice things to say about him. And I agreed with him. And we were just sort of having a little love fest right there about this other person. And so then this guy, he says, and that's why everyone speaks so poorly of him. And I said, what? He said, well, not everyone, but he said, there are some pastors. I said, pastors? Yeah, pastors, trust me. There are some pastors who speak poorly of him. And that's because he's doing so well. He said, you see, Tom, and I said to him, I said, Ken, why is that? And he said, well, you see, Tom, in our country, everyone has their PhD. And I said, your doctoral degree? He said, no. He said, he started laughing. He said, that's just what we call it. He said, in our country, we all have a syndrome. It's called PhD. And PhD stands for pull him down. He said, if one of us starts to do well and others begin to talk about that, the thing that the rest of us do is we find ways to pull that man down. And he said, that's why we never get ahead. Because we're always so busy pulling other people down that we never let somebody get up and pull the rest of us towards them. And he said, Tom, you have to understand, this is especially a problem in developing countries where resources are very scarce. Because if one person starts to have a little bit more power or a little bit more resource, the rest of us feel like there won't be any for us. And he said, that's a problem in developing countries. And I thought, I've been thinking about that in the years since. That's not a problem in developing countries. That's a problem everywhere. So often gossip is a function of envy. Because remember at the beginning of the sermon, I said so much of this is about the disposition of our hearts. And it's not so much that we look at somebody else and we say, I want what they've got. It's just that when we look at somebody doing well, what we start doing is we start saying, I don't feel good about me anymore. I want more, is what envy is about. And gossip is a very effective tool to say, that guy's not so great. That woman's not so sharp. Because you know what I know? Now, there's a second E, and it's ego. And I actually need like three volunteers. I need three people to walk up here very quickly. I will not embarrass you, I promise, but I need you to hurry. Look at this. Come on. Come on, two more. Let's go, quick. Two more people. That's it. Thank you, John. One more, please. One more person, please. Oh, look at that. Look from the sides, from the back she comes. Come on, a little golf clap for that type of face. Okay, now, what I said is, it's about ego, right? It's about ego. So let's say that something really good's happening to Jonna, okay? And Jonna's, she's a school teacher, and she's doing really well, and so she's going to get an award, and the rest of us, we're at the same school, and we're not feeling, are you feeling good about her award deep in your heart? No, see, look at that. No. So what do we do? Listen, ego, yes, did you hear that? She said, I wish I had it. Ego is a function of who's in, who's out. So if envy is up, down, ego is in, out. And so here's what happens. Jonna, by receiving an honor or something good happening, comes inside the circle, right? And so Jonna's dead center in the circle now. And so everybody's sort of looking at Jonna, and we're all going, yeah, she got the award. And so what? One way for us to manage that if we don't have ego strength is we'll do this. We will come over here, and I'll gather you all up, and I'll say, hey, let me tell you about Jonna. Let me tell you, teacher of the year. Let me tell you about Jonna. You know what I saw her do with some of the kids the other day? Blah, 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 blah. And I'll start talking about all that. Now, listen, notice now who's out and who's out? Jonna's out, but who's in? We're in. We're in. And you know what? The more we do it, the more we just say, you're out. Now, listen, it's funny in church. It's not funny if you're in the ninth grade. It's incredibly destructive when the younger you are. But can I just tell you something? It's no fun when you're an adult. Hey, can you all thank them for volunteering? Thank you. That in-out business. Wow. The third thing is, I think it's about ease. Envy, ego, ease. And listen, I'm sure you could come up with 10 other reasons. It's interesting when we talk about other people and we talk about, did you hear that they did this? Did you hear they did that? I mean, they did that. You know, did you? And you know what? Sometimes it's true. Sometimes we're not spreading lies. Sometimes we're spreading something that's accurate. But what we do is we take something that's accurate at this level and we go, whoom, he did that. And suddenly I feel more at ease with my own junk, my own sins. You know why? Because I said, hey, he did that, but I only did this. And my this is nothing compared to her. You better believe it, because that is the news. That is big doings. But this is really not so bad. And you know what you find about gossips? Gossips never come to the pastor and say, I want to confess something. I've been in a lot of churches over the years. I just want to tell you the nature of gossips. They do not do self-examination. The reason they don't do self-examination is the gossip allows them to always feel that they don't need self-examination because everybody else's junk is bigger and more magnified and theirs by comparison becomes smaller and smaller. And so suddenly they actually will begin to feel righteous helpful, more Christian, and especially if we can veil our gossip in Christian overtones. Overtones of, I'm worried about, we should pray for. So what do we do? I mean, honestly, it feels a little, when you read the scripture, it feels helpful. It just, and it's so powerful. It's so powerful. True story. What I'm going to share with you is a true story written up in a Christian magazine. Woman named Michelle. Michelle and a woman that she worked with go at out of their office. They walk across the street to a restaurant, and they sit down and they have lunch. And at the end of lunch, Michelle wants to go into the restroom, and because of whatever genetic code is present in women, this other woman says, I'll go with you. And she gets up, and the two women are now in the restroom, and Michelle said they were standing at the sinks. And I don't know if they're brushing their hair. I don't know what you people do. But but whatever it is you were doing, that you do, that's what they were doing. And they were talking, and the woman with Michelle said this. She said, hey, who do you find really hard at the office? And Michelle said she launched into about a two-minute deal on another woman who we'll call Amy, because I can't remember her real name. And she said, you know, the thing about Amy is this. And some of it was that criticism piece. But criticism, the thing about criticism, the reason you want to corner criticism is it turns to gossip so quickly. Because when you criticize someone, pretty soon you have to give examples. And when you give examples, now we're in the modality of gossip and hearsay. And so she did that for about 2 minutes. And at the end of about 2 minutes, as she's brushing her hair, suddenly they hear a noise behind them. A stall door opens, and out walks Amy. And Michelle said she turned and looked at Amy, and her mind, she said, was spinning, trying to figure out what she was going to say. And Amy took one look at her and literally just walked out of the bathroom. And Michelle watched, and Michelle and Amy never came back to work that afternoon. And the next morning, their common supervisor, walked in and said, I don't know what happened. This is really weird, but Amy just resigned, and she won't be back. So we'll post the position. If you know of anybody, let them know. But Michelle knew. And Michelle said that she tried to call Amy to apologize. She tried to send her emails. She tried to get together with her. She sent her letters. When everything else failed, she wrote out a letter, two letters. And she did this over a period of 2 years, because Michelle said, I was so grieved by my own wound that I had committed. And she, over 2 years, she tried. And never once did Amy ever reach back. Amy obviously just wanted to forget the whole thing. And Michelle said the worst thing about it was this. Amy was not a Christian, but I am. Now let me ask you something. Do you think Amy's coming to Jesus anytime soon? Negative. I think not. I agree with you. And the reason I agree with you is this. We are often the lens through which people see the cross. We are often the lens through which people look to see the cross behind us. And what happens is, somebody like Amy could very easily just make a deduction of reasoning, a pretty good deduction. Jesus must not be very powerful if that's how his followers treat people when they're not around. That cross they wear around their necks must not have much power if that's the way they treat people when they're not around. And I don't care if you're in middle school or high school or college or in the military or working a job. I don't care if you're 15 or 50 or 100. It's the same deal for all of us. So what are you going to do? Well, as I told you years ago, Gordon Pruitt shared something in a sermon. And I said last week, this doesn't work very well for criticism, but it works beautifully for gossip. And it's this acronym called THINK. And so the questions become, is it true? Is it helpful? I love the helpful one because my mom used to say this to me as a kid a lot. I remember coming home from school as a teenager and having some juicy gossip, some really good stuff. And again, whenever you've got that, suddenly you feel powerful. Even though you're not, you feel powerful because information is power. And so you come in, and I would come to my mom and go, Mom, guess what happened at school? And then I would give her all the underlying causes for why it was happening, what so-and-so, and da-da-da. And she looked, and she had this. Hey. Oh, no, here it comes. Is this helpful? Hey, you know what's great about my mom now? She's older and I'm older. Sometimes I'll say to my mom, hey, mom, is this helpful? Especially when she's talking about her church. Is this helpful? Is it inspiring? So the example I gave you at the very beginning of the sermon of the parishioner who was a florist member who was in the restaurant, see what he did? He had an opportunity to tear the woman down at the table, but instead he inspired his server. And listen, he's an older guy. He looks kind of distinguished, you know. You know what she got? She got the best job review she's ever had at her age. Because somebody caught her in the moment, observed her interaction with a customer, and looked at her and said, you handled that beautifully. Now, what do you think she'll do again? You think she'll do that again? Oh, I think so. Why? Because he inspired her to be a better self. Is it necessary? It's a lot like, is it helpful? See, the main thing about gospel is it's just not necessary a lot. And finally, this last question I love. Is it kind? Hey, as parents, isn't that the one thing we're trying to teach our kids to become? Because it's about that dispositional thing and the dispositional heart. If you can help somebody learn to simply be kind, you don't have to tell them everything they have to say and everything they have to avoid. Kindness will become their guide in life. And don't you think, no matter how old you are today, don't you think your Heavenly Father is still trying to teach you and me, as God's children, to simply be kind to the people around us? Kindness is not just a function of the tongue, it's a function of the ear. So sometimes I have to control what I say, but most often in gossip, what you have to control is what you're willing to listen to. And sometimes in kindness, what we have to do is put our hand up and say, you know what? I'm just not feeling comfortable. And if this is an important thing that you've got about that person, would you go and talk to them about it? Because I think you've got something you want to say to them. A question you want to ask or a comment you want to make. And it's just the kindness of controlling the ear as well as the tongue. Second thing I want to encourage you to do is use a phrase. This is a phrase I try to use a lot. That doesn't ring true to me. That just doesn't ring true to me. This is a very effective phrase if you use it. Because if you use this phrase, you put the burden on the speaker. Right? Somebody comes up to you and says, well, you know what I heard? Blah, 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 blah. And listen, God help us in an election cycle. Amen? Wow. I mean, it's just stunning what people will say. And I just will say, I don't challenge people. I don't say you're wrong. I just say, you know, that just doesn't ring true to me. That presidential candidate wants to control the entire world, or that president is trying to destroy our country, or it just, that doesn't ring true to me. And if you do this, you put the burden back on them. Because then they have to start talking not an opinion that is veiled, not opinion that's taken to the costume ball and dressed up like facts, but real facts. It'll just change the nature of the conversation. And I don't care if you're, I don't care what political party you're part of, this is helpful. There's a website I want to show you real fast. It's called Snopes. You ever seen this? Most of you have probably seen this, but in case you haven't, I'm always surprised at people that don't know about this. This is a fact-checking website. And so whenever you get those emails, email is a very vital form of gossip in America today. Whenever you get an email that says, and if you don't forward this email, you're not Christian, you're not American, and you don't love your mama. Right? I love those emails that at the end of the email have the footnote of holding me emotionally hostage. Please don't send those to your pastor. Okay? Because I think it's quite possible that I will still experience my salvation even if I don't forward the email. All right? So, but the point is, those emails tend to have things that are, frankly, I've just found a number of them aren't true. And what I do is I just quickly go to this website and I find it, and then I take the link and I put it in the email and I hit reply and I say, you might want to check into this. This is a good article about that. Why? Because if you can be the terminal end of gossip, you will have honored Jesus Christ with your life. Because it's wrong. Because the Bible says, thou shalt not lie. And gossip is just so often half-truth dressed up like fact and paraded around. I would encourage us to give up judging others. James 4:12 says this. Read this with me. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? This is one of the things that the scripture is very persistent about. Jesus talked about, you know, don't be a judge. Don't go around taking specks out of people's eyes, and you've got a plank. I talked about that last week. Most of you have been the recipients of gossip. Is that true? Some point or another? Me too. Now, I signed up for that. I said, I'll be a pastor in the church. And I knelt, and a bishop laid his hands on me, and I took on a public job. And if you're in a public job, that just goes with the territory. And so you can't walk around saying, ooh, it's not fair. You just go, oh, yeah, that stinks. That's part of my job. And it makes it no less painful. No less painful. But I've always been buoyed when I judge others. I've been corrected, self-corrected, scripturally, Holy Spirit corrected. And when I have experienced it myself, all over the Bible, James chapter 4, Jesus in Matthew 7, Paul in 1 Corinthians 4, my favorite passage on this, he says to the Corinthians, it's a small thing that you have judged me. I do not even judge myself. That doesn't mean I'm right. But I wait until the Lord will judge me, and then he will open the secret, listen to this, he will open the secret places of all of our hearts, and then, he says, I will be judged. But what Paul knew is he'd be judged with grace. Gossip is judgment with no grace at all. And that's why the Bible says, you don't want to do that because you want grace. So the disposition of your heart has to be gracious. So we just don't have to be the judge. I tell you how bad it is for me. I have found if there's someone that I'm having a hard time with, it helps me not even to have information about their life. Like if something happens in their life, it could be a marriage issue or a job issue or a kid issue or anything else, I find it's helpful for me not even to ask about how that happened to someone else, because if I do that, I will find a way to make it negative. Because it's a heart disposition. So I just find this judgment thing, sometimes you've got to get so far away from it, you can't even smell it. And in that way, we love other people more. I just invite us, and I want to say one last thing, and then we're going to stop. And this is it. I think the biggest issue with gossip is this. You know why we gossip when we do it? The main reason? We're cowards. We're cowards. Because you know what? When I gossip about somebody, And the person that I'm gossiping about, I'm going to come right here and I'm going to gossip to the swans. I say, hey, let me tell you about Joel over there. You know what Joel did? Da-da-da. You know why I'm here with the swans and not over there with Joel? Because I'm a coward. And I don't have the chutzpah, the metal, M-E-T-T-L-E. I don't have the metal to walk up and say to Joel, hey, Joel, I'm doing this because I know Joel's real safe, by the way. Not because Joel has issues. I don't have the chutzpah to walk up to Joel and just say, hey, Joel, I'm worried about something. Here's what's being said. Is it true? So at work, what do? You don't go to the person. You go to somebody around them, right? If it's at the church, you don't go to the person. You stand out in the narthex and we talk about people. If you go in your neighborhood, you don't go to the homeowners association meeting. You talk about the whole neighborhood before that. You know, we don't. Why? We're here, not there, because the primary issue of gossip is what? Cowardice. And Jesus says, you are better than that. So, he says, if you have a problem with somebody, you go to the person and talk to them directly. Talk to them. And you know what, if you do, so often you find out the secret places of the heart. And you had no idea what they were doing. You had no idea what was going on. Friends, I want to invite you to talk to your kids about this subject. Because what it does in our school is powerful. And today when you leave, challenge of the week. Card number 2, harness hearsay. 3 questions. Did I participate in gossip today? Were my facts straight? Did I assume the best today? Get a card, put it in your car, put it in your wallet, put it wherever. If you want to, well, you probably shouldn't take more than one. If you want to come back in on Monday and get the extras and hang them all over your life, feel free to do that. One per customer, one per person today. The ushers are going to hang out the door. Would you take the second week's challenge with me? Would you do this? Would you raise your hand if you're willing to do it? Let's try to see what it does to our week. Can I tell you something about last week when I tried to corner criticism? I did really well. I get Saturday, it was starting to wear off. I needed to come to church today, I'll be honest with you. I liked me better last week than I've liked me in a long time. I liked me better. And I was more quiet last week, a little more quiet. Some people confuse that with being intelligent, which worked for me too. Right? So this week, can we harness hearsay? Let's not be stung by the tongue. Would you bow your heads for a word of prayer? Lord God, in Ephesians you tell us, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but only that which is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit all who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, to whom we have been sealed for the day of redemption. Lord, we pray what Paul said in that passage. Help us to get rid of all bitterness, all rage, all anger, all brawling, verbal or physical, all slander, along with every form of malice. That passage in Ephesians 4 is our prayer today. May no unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. In Jesus' name, amen.